Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the gospel that we have for this weekend, the Pharisees are now teaming up with the Herodians to trap Jesus. Now, we haven't heard or seen these Herodians before. They are Jews who support King Herod and the puppet government that the Romans had set up so as to control the Israelites. The Herodians are essentially collaborators. Now, the Jews hate the Romans because they are the occupiers of their land. But worse yet, they hate even more these Herodians, because the Herodians are Jews themselves who no longer support Israel, but instead are supporting King Herod. The Herodians likewise hate the Pharisees because they do not support the Roman army or the Roman government. And so the Herodians and the Pharisees are bitter enemies. Yet they're able to lay down their differences, put them aside, in order to accomplish one objective, which is to fight a greater enemy, and that is Jesus Christ. They conspire and they contrive a way to trap Jesus so as to find some evidence so as to try Jesus and ultimately execute him. And so they approach Jesus with the question, is it lawful to pay the census tax to Caesar or not? What we have to understand is in Jesus' time, as well as probably even in our own time, religion and politics were very closely connected. Therefore, this question is an incredibly volatile one, and therefore is the perfect trap for Jesus. Why? Because part of the tax immediately went to Rome as tribute to Caesar, and yet a large portion of the tax remained in Israel to house, feed, clothe, and pay the Roman soldiers, to do one thing, to continue to suppress and occupy the land of Israel. And so this was a very controversial tax and a source of great acrimony. The Jews did not want to pay this tax at all, yet they were forced to. If they did not pay this tax, they would be thrown in jail. And so, if Jesus answers yes to this question, yes, we should pay the census tax, people will accuse him as being a sympathizer, a collaborator himself. They would accuse him of treason, of not being a good Jew or a good patriot. Yet, if Jesus answers no to this question, no, it is not lawful and we should not pay the tax, well then, now Jesus is a good patriot, a good Jew. And yet in the eyes of the Romans, he is now labeled as an agitator, even an enemy of the state of Rome. Either way, no matter how Jesus answers this question, he's damned if he does and he's damned if he doesn't. He is going to face opposition, whether from the Jews or from the Romans. It appears that Jesus is trapped. He's in a no-win situation. Great example of this is right now, in this political environment that we have right now. Reporters ask both presidential candidates these very difficult questions, and sometimes, no matter how the candidate answers the question, they will never be able to please everyone. They'll never have the perfect answer that everyone will be happy with. There's always some group or some individual that will always be put off and offended. And so what does Jesus say? Show me the coin that pays the census tax. They showed him the coin. And therefore, Jesus answers their question by saying, then repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God. Now, this is a very quick and clever response. Yet it is a response that's been debated and interpreted throughout the centuries. it would first appear that Jesus is implying that there is a clear demarcation line between church and state. And so we could very easily come to that conclusion. Yet take this answer from Jesus Christ at a deeper level. Essentially, what Jesus is trying to teach us is that we are citizens of two different cities, the city of this world and the city of God, Christianity, heaven. And so how do we straddle both cities? Can both cities live in harmony with each other? Or are we constantly jumping back and forth and back and forth between cities? To answer the first question, both cities can live harmoniously together. Both the world and heaven and our religion and our church can live together. They are not in opposition to each other, and they shouldn't be, because they were both created by God. The city of the world, politics, economics, healthcare, art, literature, music, they all have a legitimate function in our world. Yes, they are good, and we recognize that. That skilled and competent people are in these particular areas. And so, yes, we render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. That's good. That's okay. Yet we also have to render to God what belongs to God. And what belongs to God? Well, everything. Politics, economics, healthcare, art, literature, music, everything, including Caesar himself, belongs to God. There is no dark demarcation line between God and religion versus all the things in this world. All the things in this world, healthcare, economics, religion, yes, they all have a legitimate function in our society, but yet they all must fall under the influence of God. And see, that's what Jesus is trying to teach us in that answer. Where is this clearly on display? In the first reading. In the first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah is telling us essentially what King Cyrus has done for the Israelites. Now, we have to understand the context in which the first reading is set in. The Israelites are still in captivity in Babylon. They've been conquered by the Babylonians and been taken away into slavery. And so they continue to live in this state of slavery to the Babylonians. And yet, the Babylonian neighbor, the Persian Empire, is rising and getting stronger. Suddenly, King Cyrus creates an army and attacks the Babylonians and destroys them. King Cyrus then goes to the Israelites and he says to them, go home. I set you free. In fact, he tells them that he will give them their land back, so they can go home and live in peace. Now, King Cyrus never worshipped God. King Cyrus never even knew who God was. Yet, what is so interesting and amazing is King Cyrus is operating under the influence of God and under God's design and his plan. Now, go back into the gospel and reread Jesus' answer to the Herodians and the Pharisees. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. There is nothing in this world, nothing, whether it's politics, economics, healthcare, music, literature, nothing at all in this world is independent of God. Again, there is no demarcation line separating this world from God. Now, why is this important for us to understand? Because as citizens of the United States of America, we pride ourselves on the fact that there is a demarcation line between church and state, that both are separate and distinct. After all, our founding fathers created that line, that imaginary line. Thomas Jefferson himself, after the War of Independence, gave us that famous quote, "We will tolerate religion as long as it is privatized, as long as it is held in the privacy of our heart, only to be whispered, but don't you dare bring religion into the public eye." Well, we must follow the words of Jesus Christ, his answer. Render to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. all things in this world, politics, economics, healthcare, they all have a legitimate role and function, and yet they all have to be informed and influenced by our Christian principles and values. Now, I'm not advocating that the Pope should be the world leader in charge of all governments. I'm not advocating that bishops or cardinals should be in charge of the stock market. Well, at least they couldn't do any worse than it's been done already. They shouldn't be in charge of economies of this world. I'm not advocating that priests should be in charge of our healthcare system or mayors of our towns or cities or villages. No, they shouldn't, because it's outside their realm of competency. There are more competent people to fill these roles, perform those functions and jobs. But our Christian values should be informing and influencing all the things in this world, whether it's art, literature, music, economics, politics, or healthcare. See, that's what Jesus is getting at when he answers the Herodians and the Pharisees in that way. And so how should we apply this in our own lives? Well, first and foremost, we must give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. If we are police officers or judges, we should do what we are trained to do, enforce the laws. If we are teachers, do what you are trained to do, go and teach. If you are a doctor, go and do what you were trained to do. Go and heal people. Yet we must also give to God what belongs to God. Whatever we do in this world, whatever profession it is, we must always be informed, shaped, and influenced by our Christian values. The values of faith, hope, and love. The values of prudence, patience, charity, and compassion for all people. My friends, when we allow those values and virtues of Christianity to deeply permeate all the things that we do in this world, then yes, we can easily give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar. And more importantly, we can give to God what truly belongs to God. And may the peace and the grace of Christ rest upon you always.